Please turn with me in your Bible to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. And of course, I know what you're thinking. Of course, he asked us to turn to the book of Joshua. I promise you, it doesn't have to do with my name, even though I think Joshua's a great name. Thank you, Mom and Dad. A small shout out to y'all. As you're finding your place, I do have a couple thank yous that I would like to get out of the way. I did not word that well. I would like to express a few thank yous. First of all, Pastor Tyler, I want to thank you for inviting my wife and I to come out and work here. It's an honor, and we're honestly humbled each and every day to work with the kids of Worth. Thank you for all you've done to invest in my life. Thank you for all you've done to just nurture a friendship with us and point me to God every step of the way. I thank you for truly caring. Worth Baptist Church, thank you for showing us so much love with the newest addition to our family. Reuben has already gained... Let me do the math here, and I know that's scary, but he's already gained, we just weighed him, he's 10 pounds and 7 ounces. He was born at 6 pounds and 7 ounces, so that, if my math is right, that's 4 pounds. Yes, my parents did do something right, and I'm glad. thank you for showing us just so much love in the gifts and the meals. As most of the parents know, when you have a new addition to the house, things get thrown off balance, and I had to do a little bit of cooking there that first week, and we try to avoid that as much as possible because we don't like eating burnt stuff or raw stuff. So, I just want to say thank you for showing us love. We feel right at home here, and already I'm just looking out in the crowd. I see so many dear friends to us now, so many people who've come alongside us and really made us feel loved and warm and welcome here in Texas. And that means so much to me because my wife, who hasn't come from this church, y'all have made her feel right at home here, and I so do appreciate that. Thank you for WBC Kids, and I just want y'all to know that y'all make my day every time I get to spend just a little bit of time with y'all in junior church or master clubs. It is a highlight of my week, watching y'all get excited about the songs, maybe excited a little too much in the lesson when you shouldn't be, but that's okay. Kids are kids. I just want y'all to know that I love you kids, and if y'all ever need anything, please let one of the children's workers know or let me know. We want you to succeed here at Worth, and we want you to grow in your walk with God. Well, at this point, you should have found your place in Joshua chapter 1. Joshua 1, we're going to start reading in verse number 1, Joshua 1, verse 1. The Bible says this, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore rise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even unto the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness in this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, under the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." And as we close in verse 9, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." I just want to speak briefly tonight on this topic of how to handle change. How to handle change. A reckless driver by the name of Walter Arnold was spotted by a police officer hurling through the streets of Paddockwood, Kent, that's in the UK, at four times the speed limit. Four times the speed limit. Now, I don't know about you, but especially having a toddler now, that sounds kind of scary right off the bat. However, The year was 1896, and the speed limit was just 2 miles per hour. Walter Arnold was recklessly driving, careening through the streets, going 8 miles an hour. The police officer that spotted him was eager to keep the justice, so he hopped on his bicycle and proceeded a five-mile chase to pursue Mr. Arnold on his bicycle, finally catching him and giving him his first speeding ticket. Mr. Arnold was fined one shilling, which would transfer to today's currency about 36 cents, if you can believe it. So he was going about 6 miles over, four times the speed limit of 2 miles an hour, charged about 36 cents. Man, have things changed or what? First of all, speed limits have exponentially increased. I don't think I've ever seen a 2 miles per hour zone anywhere, and certainly not in Texas. I don't think I've ever seen anybody driving 8 miles per hour. Certainly not in Texas at that. Speeding tickets themselves cost significantly more, and that's all to say this. It's just an illustration that things change. Things change. Change happens all around us, and I have a definition of change. Change is the instance of something, or the instant of something becoming different. It's when something varies. It's when something differs from what it originally was. Some changes in life are necessary, especially with the automobile. It's good that things have changed. Nobody wants to be driving 2 miles an hour. Maybe you do. You can have that conversation with your family. But nobody, especially now, we want to get to where we want to go to quickly and in a reasonable amount of time. Some change is necessary and some change is good. However, some change is not as comfortable for us. Some change actually makes us very uncomfortable, and some change hurts. What we see here in the life of Joshua, as we approach our text tonight, is a massive change in Joshua's life. We see that he loses his leader, his mentor, Moses. Moses is dead. Those are right the first six words now after the death of Moses. So here comes all the emotions that comes with losing somebody dear to you, losing somebody close, the hurt and the grief that you experience. And now look what the Lord says to him. In verse 2, it says, Moses, my servant, said, now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people unto the land which I do give unto them. So not only has Joshua lost somebody near and dear to him, now he has to lead an entire nation of people, millions of people, into an unknown land with an unknown people, and he has to do that himself. So it's a transition into a new job. So two major stresses, there's a massive change in Joshua's life. I would argue that this is probably one of the hardest times in Joshua's life, yet he has to lead people through it. So the emotions that he's struggling with, the grief, the hurt that he's facing, that the nation is facing as well, he has to figure out a way to get through that so that he can follow God and obey God's will for his life. Not only does Joshua have a new role, he loses somebody dear to him, Joshua's got some pretty big shoes to fill. We all know Moses, right? He was God's chosen to lead the nation of Israel out of captivity. And Moses did just that. He physically led the nation out of Egypt. When the Israelites needed somebody to go to God on their behalf, Moses was always their guy. Moses not only physically led this nation, he spiritually led the nation of Israel. And in fact, the Bible has much to say just about the testimony and the stature of Moses in their eyes. Deuteronomy 39:10 says this, and there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. Numbers 12:3 says, now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And then Acts 7:22, and Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words indeed. So Moses had this legacy. He had this testimony. These people looked to him and they said, wow, this guy, he's achieved. He is the definition of spiritual success. And now Joshua has to fill his shoes. Joshua has to step into those shoes. Now, from a practical sense, 2023 has been a challenging year for many of us. Already at this church, since the short time we've been here, we've already seen quite a few funerals on a very serious note. We've seen surgeries. We've seen even trials come in our own life. Change is difficult. Change is tough. Change is challenging. And honestly, change in any and every sense of the word is inevitable in our life. This year, when we were living in California, me and my wife, we looked at each other. We said, man, life is too easy. Why don't we do all of the most challenging things at once? We moved from California to Texas. We started a new job from working at a college to working at a church. We bought a house. And we had a kid. One thing after the other, we said one of these things isn't stressful enough. Let's do everything. And those are already some of the most, within the top 10 most stressful things. And then, on a serious note, we lost my brother David. And that hit hard with our family. And loss is tough. Change is difficult. When you lose somebody you love, that hurts and that pain is difficult to navigate. Change is challenging. And here's the truth. We can't navigate through change, through the changes in our circumstance, changes in our life, God's way, if we don't know God's pattern for change. And I think many of us fear change. I have this illustration up here. I don't really know who that guy is supposed to represent. I guess it's me. I wish I was that tall. But I think we're oftentimes opposed to change. We say, I'm comfortable where I'm at. When change comes our way, we do everything we can to stop it, to prevent it. But I'm here to tell you that change is in God's plan for your life. And I can't say when, and I can't say how big. Joshua faced change, and he needed to know how to get through it. Tonight, we're going to see, how did Joshua get through change? How did he handle change from losing somebody so dear to him, from assuming a new role, and to follow God exactly as God had commanded? And first, we're going to see God's command to Joshua. God's command to Joshua. We read the same statement more or less six times in verse 6, verse 7, and verse 9. We're going to read verse 6 again. God commanded Joshua. Notice this isn't a request of God. This isn't a question for him. No, God says, be strong and of a good courage. Verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous. In verse 9, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. God commanded Joshua. He said, hey, be strong, be courageous. But what does that mean? What does that look like for you and me? What is biblical strength and what is biblical courage? I think when we think of biblical strength, we think of somebody who stood their ground in a time where death was imminent, right? I know when I think of strength, I oftentimes think of Peter. As a show of strength. He says, you're not going to take him. Oftentimes we think strength is standing up. However, what we find here in our text is that strength and courage is something vastly different from that. It's not violence in opposition to death, but rather it is obedience to God's word. Strength and courage is obedience to God's word. Thank you, Brother Corey. I very much appreciate that. I thought he was fixing my mic because I thought after I sung, I probably broke it or something like that. Pastor looked to the side. He saw I was a little off tune there. But strength and courage is obedience to God's word. Did you see that in verse 7? Only be thou strong and very courageous. Why? That thou mayest observe to do all according, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. So strength and courage, it's not this emotion. It's not this display of your physical strength or your mental strength, but rather it's obedience to God's law despite the culture around us. I have this biblical and scriptural definition for strength, and strong here in our passage means to be firm, physically firm where you are, exactly where God has you. Courageous means this, it has more to do with our mindset. It's more mental. Steadfastly minded, established, fortified. They go hand in hand. You need to be courageous for you to be strong, but you can be both. Courage in our culture tends to have a little more of almost a practical sense, in the sense that it's the ability to do something that frightens one, or strength in the face of pain or grief. So in the midst of our change, just like we saw with Joshua, God commands us to be strong. I haven't done an exact count on how many times the phrase, be strong and do not fear, pops up in the Bible, but it's numerous times. And God commands us to be strong, but being strong and steadfast in our trial of change is difficult. When you want to give up, as I'm sure Joshua did, how do you make sure you decide to stay strong? Well, that's where we see, secondly, God's covenant for Joshua. God's covenant for Joshua. First of all, we see that God promised Joshua protection. God promised Joshua protection. We see that in verse 3. God said, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. And watch this in verse 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. God promised to protect Joshua. He promised Joshua that the land would be theirs and that no one could stand before him. I love the way that Paul phrased it in the New Testament. He said, if God be for us, who can be against us? Romans 8:31. See, that same God who's for us, that same God who promised to protect us, he's that same God who will never leave us or forsake us. I love that it's the same passage that Dr. Barber often quotes in Psalm 46:1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. See, God is with us. God has promised us, he's promised, I will protect you. I will be with you. We have nothing to fear, because whatever we have to go through, we know that that trial, that situation, that circumstance, that change is filtered from our Father. That God has seen it. He knows it. He's attuned with our pain, and he wants to help us with our grief. We have nothing to fear, even if it's the loss of somebody we love. Even if it's the loss of some financial aspect like a house or a car. God will protect us. And that's where we see the second promise of God. God promised Joshua his protection. But then we see God promised Joshua his presence. We started to read it at the tail end of verse 5. God says, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. I hope you caught that. The Lord promised to be with Joshua. And in the same sense, wherever we go, God is there with us. Whatever experience we change or hurt or grief we feel, hey, God's there for you. God's right there alongside you. Now, Joshua had heard these words before of be strong and be courageous, but he hadn't heard them from God, not at first. Flip with me to Deuteronomy, just a few chapters back. Deuteronomy 31. For context, Moses is speaking to the nation of Israel. That's at the beginning of chapter 31. But watch what he says in verse 7. Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him, in the sight of all of Israel, be strong and of good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he is it that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be thou dismayed. So the first time Joshua heard the words, be strong and of courage, it wasn't from the Lord. It was from his spiritual leader, Moses. But now Moses is gone. Joshua doesn't have Moses anymore. But he still has God. And what Moses can't do for him, God can. I love the encouragement that Moses gives. He says, be strong and of a good courage. Isn't that funny? He quotes it, if you read it in the passage, he quotes it in verse 6 and verse 7. You know why? Because that's a promise that God gave to Moses. And Moses is saying, Joshua, here's a promise God gave to me. I've seen him come through with it. He's going to fulfill his word for you too. You can trust him on this. He will never fail thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. So he encouraged him with those words. Here's the truth. God's presence in our lives is better than Moses' presence. And as true as that was for Joshua, that's still true for us today. The New Testament commentator writes it as this in Hebrews 13:5, quoting this passage, I want you to know, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. Talk about a good passage for change. For he hath said, he being God, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. God is with us. He's promised us his presence. And you know what? All Joshua had to do to know that God was good on his word is look to his past. If you remember in Exodus 17, Joshua led a battle. He led this battle against the Amalekites. And Joshua brought his nation victory through the Amalekites because of God stepping in and miraculously intervening and giving Israel that victory. Do you know what Joshua knew from his past? God was with him. You know what you can know looking at your past? God is with you. You can look at maybe some trials you've gone through. Hey, God got you through those times. Maybe some financial needs. Maybe some comfort in the time of loss and grief. And maybe none of those things are popping to your head tonight, and you're still holding on to some grief. You're still holding on to some uncomfortableness with the change, with the circumstance that you're in tonight. You can look to the fact that God secured your salvation through Jesus Christ. And God secured your eternal destination because he cares for you and he's with you. And if God can take care of your eternal destination, he can take care of your now. He can take care of your present. All Joshua had to do to know that God was good for his word was look to his past and see what God got him through in the past. And sometimes in the same way, we will need to look back and examine on how God delivered us out of our past for us to be able to navigate the change that we're going through. So Joshua knew he had the presence and the protection of God. And because of this, because of the promises of God that he had, and because of we have the same promises, we can stand in the same assurance that Joshua had for his God. But this is where Joshua had to make a choice for God. This is where Joshua had to make a choice for God. I need a volunteer. Mr. William, would you mind coming up here to the platform? I have an illustration. And if you'll just stand right here, Mr. William, and give me a little high five. Thank you, sir. Thanks for coming up. Let's give him a big hand. Doesn't he look sharp today? Can you do me a huge favor, man? I just need a huge favor, okay? Can you walk over to that side of the stage? Thank you. Oh, man. Didn't he do great? Let's give him a hand. Thank you, William. You can have a seat. I sure do appreciate that. He's looking about as confused as I was. Pretty much my whole life. I just live in a state of confusion. Now, why did I pull him all the way up here? Because William so graciously showed us tonight what it looks like to choose to follow. What it looks like to choose to follow. William could have said, no, I don't want to come up there. And I wouldn't have been mad at him at all. He could have said, no, I don't want to walk across the stage. I don't know why you want me to do that. But he didn't. He didn't know exactly why I asked him to do what he did. He didn't understand why I asked him to change where he was sitting to come up here on this stage. But he did it. He chose to follow. In a much more real sense, we have to choose to follow God. We have free will. And even though God's promised us so much, he's promised to take care of us. He's promised to protect us. He's promised to be with us. He's promised us all that, but it still is up to us to choose to follow Him and to obey God's Word. See, the choice to follow God's Word is deeper than just following somebody's call to step up on a stage or the choice to come to church every night. The choice to follow God is deeper than making sure your family's in church. It's far more than that. It's understanding I need to know God's Word and I need to obey it. This is the choice that Joshua had. Isn't that what God said in verse 8? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Why? That thou mayest observe to do. There's that action to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Joshua chose to follow God, and he made a choice to obey. We have that same choice tonight. Whatever change we're going through, yes, we recognize, wow, God's given us some great promises, but I'm going to obey God's Word. I can look to those promises and hope and expectation that God's going to come through on His Word, and in the meantime, when it doesn't make sense, and when it hurts and there's grief, I'm just going to follow God. I'm going to obey Him, because I know He's good for it. Joshua would have known God's Word well at this point, right? I mean, he really only had the Pentateuch. He only had the books of the law. And he followed Moses day and night, but that wasn't enough. He needed to meditate and be saturated with God's Word. It's not just enough for us to sit in church and to hear a sermon once or twice a week. We need to saturate ourselves in God's Word. Because how are we going to obey God's Word if we don't know it? Just like Joshua, we need to saturate ourselves in the Word of God. I find in our culture there seems to be this tension between this act of strength and courage and between cowardness. I don't want us to be confused with the fact that Joshua was afraid, right? Isn't that why God asked, be not afraid? He commanded him, neither be thou dismayed. He was afraid and discouraged and hurt in the situation that he was in. So whatever change we're going through, strength and courage are found when we choose to follow God and obey His Word. And it will take courage. It will take courage in our culture that is against the things of the Lord and against the Bible. But I want you to catch this. Where do strength and courage come from? Flip with me to Deuteronomy 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse number 7. This is Moses speaking to the nation of Israel after getting the set of tablets for the second time from the Lord. And watch what he says in verse 7. But your eyes have seen the great acts of the Lord, which he did. And watch this in verse 8. Therefore, shall ye keep the commandments which I command you this day. Those are the same ones that God offered to Moses. But watch this at the end of verse 8. That ye may be strong and go in and possess the land whither ye go to possess it. How do we be strong and courageous? Well, we follow and obey God's Word. What happens when we follow and obey God's Word? God gives us more strength and courage for the trial and circumstance at hand. And that's just something you'll have to see true in your own life. We could have testimonies tonight of just like we did last week on the goodness of God coming through again and again and again in our life, coming through with His goodness and His protection, being there with us every step of the way. But for you to know that God's good for His Word in a sense where you're going to be strengthened and you're going to receive courage from it, you will have to make the choice to follow and obey God's Word. But I'm so thankful Moses preceded that statement with verse 7. But your eyes have seen all the great acts of the Lord which He did. We can recognize that God has power and of the power He did in the past, and we can be confident that that's the same God who's going to help us in our presence. We must follow and obey God's Word. We can't expect the blessings of the Lord's promises if we abandon His commandments and precepts. It may be the change you've experienced is weighing on you tonight. I know on my heart, my brother's weighing on me tonight. And there's nothing we can do when it comes to changing the circumstance around us. But you know what we can do? We can trust God with our pain. We can trust God with our circumstance. We can trust that God knows what's going on in our life, and He will protect us, and He's with us every step of the way. So I just have a couple questions for you tonight. How are you doing following God? Maybe tonight, God pointed out to you some commandments of His that you know you're not clearly following. And you need to make a choice, not just to be in church, not just to have a Bible in your home, and those are great things, but to saturate yourself in God's Word and to choose tonight, rededicate tonight, I'm going to follow God. I'm going to be courageous in a culture that's against God, no matter the persecution, no matter the trial, the trains that I'm in. But let me ask you this. You can't obey what you don't understand or know. So how is your time in God's Word? What, has it been put off to the side in the busyness of life? Have you, in the midst of trial, put off that which could help you the most? Do you need to rededicate your time with God and to ask God to help you get that back on track so you can spend time with Him each and every day in His Word and in prayer? Lastly tonight, I don't want to take anything for granted. Maybe you don't know Jesus as your Savior. And I couldn't give you any greater advice than to say Jesus can help you navigate any change in your life. I don't know if you're going through a trial of change right now or a circumstance that makes you uncomfortable. You can't navigate through change the way that God intended without God in your life. And we didn't have a time to really get into this tonight, but Joshua himself was a picture of Jesus Christ, our Savior. He led the nation of Israel into victory. And we can experience that in our own life, but we have to accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. Have you made that choice tonight? Have you called on Him to save you from your sins? And if you haven't, tonight would be the night. I pray that God would give you the courage to make that choice. Let's close in a word of prayer as we begin our invitation. We'll have the altars open up here if you would like to pray and make things right with God. Father God, I'm so thankful for the power You displayed for the nation of Israel so that Joshua could trust You, and so that tonight, here in 2023, we can trust You with our life and with our change. Lord, there are hurts in this room. There's confusion in this room. Would You help us to begin the healing process tonight? Lord, give our hurt, give our change to You. Lord, choose tonight to follow and obey You no matter the circumstance. God, I thank You for Your Word, which You've clearly laid out for us, how to get through change and navigate through it with You. Thank You, Lord, for promising to be ever with us. Lord, if there's a person here that doesn't know You as their Savior, would You give them the courage to come find a counselor tonight and get that settled? God, it's in Your holy Son's name we do pray.